محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 19. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين. These are four verses from 19 to 22. Indeed, man has been created halu. I will explain what halu mean. I don't think we can explain that, translate it in one word. When ill befalls him, he is anxious and impatient. And when good comes his way, he's grudging and preventing it from others, except the prayerful. So verses 19 to 22, four verses. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا. What's the meaning of هلوع? هلوع is a quality which is composed of two main components. One is impatience, and the other is greed. Utter impatience, utter greed. So when you put these two together, a person becomes halu. Now they have translated it differently in different translations, like covetous or things like that. However, we have to bear in mind it has these two components. And it says afterwards, when good comes his way, he is preventive. When ill befalls him, he is impatient and laments about things for himself. Now, the question that we mentioned last week, and I think we have to expand on it now, is that what is said here is that man is created like this, not that man becomes like this. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ حَلُوعًا. So if he's created like this, then what is the fault of man, of human being, to behave in that way? Now, there are other verses in the Quran which describe the creation of human being in a way which shows that human being has sort of qualities which are not quite commendable. Like, for example, in Surah Nisa, we have that وَخُلَقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man is created weak. Or وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Man is hasty. Human being is hasty. Now these are, or in another verse which actually exaggerates in a sense, it says خُلَقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man is created of haste. That rushes all the time, has no patience, something like that. Now, the question is that if man is created like this, so what's bad about it, or what's actually the fault of people who behave like what is mentioned here? Now, to be halu has a good aspect to it, and it is because of that good aspect that God has created man in that way. And that is, if you're not impatient in difficulties, in hardship, in illness, we do not try to remedy it. It's good. And if we are not greedy, we do not actually aspire to good things. You know, we always want to have a higher station, higher estates. And especially that is very good in terms of a spiritual journey towards God, that you never are satisfied. Knowledge, you should never be satisfied about it. This is how God has created man. that never is satisfied with what is less. And because God is infinite, man is never satisfied. Man always wants to go higher and higher and higher. And this is why he has this type of greed. That's very good. This type of aspiration all the time. And on the other hand, of course, if we are not impatient, we are relaxed very much. We do a sin, okay, I will repent later on, sometimes in future, you see. But this quality of impatience, for example, if we commit something wrong, you see how restless we become. We just want to remedy it. If something happens to our loved ones, how restless, impatient we become. We want to remedy it. So it's good. Now, the only thing is that we use this. We use this quality in wrong place. That is the problem. And it's the problem about all good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We use them in wrong place. Allah has given us this quality of, for example, envying others. This is good. You envy others in what they do, in good manners, in good qualities. You try to become like them is good. But then we turn this envy to jealousy. We misuse what is placed in us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, human being is created like this. It is not a bad thing. Whatever Allah creates is good. Fatabarakallah ahsanul khaliqin. Allah is the best of the creator. Man is created like this. But they misuse it. They misplace it. How they misplace it? They actually bring it to the field of dunya. Now, if something is given to them instead of that greed that they should have about akhirah, you have given lots of things in this world, okay, take it with you to the other world. Be greedy in that to take your money to the other world, so give it to people. Instead, what we do, we think that we can keep it for ourselves and take it to our graves. You know, in old days when pharaohs or rich people died, they buried all their property with them. Gold, silver, they thought that they can take it with them. Well, we can take these things with us. It's possible, but not in that way. There's another way to take these things. So we actually confuse ourselves. We make a mistake. So when we have things, we keep it for ourselves. And when we have difficulties in life, instead of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having patience in those difficulties, having haste for good things, sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum, rush towards the maghfirah. This is, of course, this rushing is good. Khulaqa al-insanu min ajal, because of this, that we have to rush to good things. However, we use it in wrong way. So, man doesn't know how to use this quality that we have given him. Innal insana khulaqa halu'a. What does he do? Idha massahu sharru jazu'a. When evil comes on his way, when something bad, shar, usually the exegetes have actually interpreted this shar as poverty. To be in need, but it's more general. I mean, illness or something like that. They completely lose their hope that God has forsaken us, or we have no chance in this world, we have no luck, everything is against us. They become like this. And وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Whenever they are given something good, when good touches them, this expression is very beautiful. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُ مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرِ. It means that it's something very transient. It just touches you. Some good touches you, or some bad evil touches you, some ill touches you, then it completely changes you and changes your attitude. So if this halu, to be halu, to have this quality of having hasty and being greedy, if this exceeds its limit, it does what we have to do. We forget the Tawheed, we forget the reliance of Allah, we forget that everything is being managed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we become like what these verses says, that's فَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى فَجَمَعَ وَأَوْعَى, just tries to hoard and contain and keep for itself. This is how we become. Therefore, some experts say that these two verses, which comes after إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلَقَ حَلُوءًا, man is created حَلُوءًا, these two verses, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوءًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوءًا, are actually describing what halu is. But some experts say, based on the explanation that I gave you, that no, this is not a description of halu. Halu, to be halu, is a good quality. These are when this quality is used in a bad way. Then when shar touches us, we will become impatient. And when good touches us, we will become preventive, selfish, and we want everything for ourselves. Now, how can we prevent this? And this is something about all bad qualities. Every quality Allah has given to us could be deviated towards, could go astray towards evil and bad, unless we control it. It's in our hand. It's not Allah has given us free hand in that. Now, how can we prevent these evil, these good qualities to become evil or to be used for evil, is by instructions that Allah has given us. And here, as generally in everywhere else, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except the prayerful. So, man is created halu. And this quality of being halu would take him towards those two extreme behavior, except those who are prayerful. They don't fall into this. The envy that Allah has created in you would lead you to jealousy unless you are prayerful. The desires that Allah has created in you would lead you to evil unless you are prayerful. And this is the general statement in Surah An-Kabut, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salat would prevent you from indecencies and from evil. تَنْهَى. This is, if you don't want to fall into this whirlpool of evil, which actually is caused by good qualities which are placed in you, you have to be one of the musallin. Now, this term musalli, someone who prays, is not used very much in the Quran. Only in three places it is used. One is here, إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. The other one is, if you remember, we mentioned a conversation between people of hell and paradise, which people of paradise asked the people of hell, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ, what made you to end up in hell in Saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ, we were not from Musallin. Okay, this is the second place. The third place which is used is a warning to Musallin. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم. Do you know who denies the day of judgment? In reality, not by word, the one who drives away, who rebukes an orphan, is the one who denies the day of judgment. ولا يحج على طعام المسكين, and do not encourage, do not concern himself about feeding the poor. And then it says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe to the prayerful.
Sorry, Sheikh, this is أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, but you said day of judgment.
Yeah, deen here means day of judgment. Yeah. Actually, the recompense that God is going to give, the retribution that God is going. That is the meaning of it, isn't it? If, for example, you say, no, I have faith in religion, I have faith in God, but you do these things, you are actually denying the judgment day by your behavior, practically. Theoretically, you believe in it, but practically, you are denying it. Okay? Now, only these three places, the term musallin has been used in the Quran. In other places, when Allah actually commands us to perform salat, He says, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish prayer. Establish prayer is different from just praying. Establish prayer means that you do things which befits someone who prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of establishing prayer. Now, I have a very beautiful hadith here about the difference between just praying and establishing prayer. Making the prayer to happen, not just saying things. Now, this is an advice from Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to Kumail ibn Ziyad. And you know how Kumail was close to Imam Ali and what was his spiritual status, what was his status in faith, we know about it. Now, in a long hadith, I just quote that place which is related to our topic. It says, Ya Kumail, ليس الشأن أن تصلي وتصوم وتتصدق الشأن أن تكون الصلاة بقلب نقي وعمل عند الله مرضي وخشوع سوي. The question is not that you pray or fast or give charity. All people in the world do this thing, those who have faith, isn't it? Or those who claim they have faith. The question is not this. The question is, أَشَّأْنُ أَنْ يَكُوْ أَنْ تَكُونَ الصَّلَاةُ بِقَلْبِ النَّقِي. That your prayer happens, you perform it with a pure heart. That is the question. That's the issue. And you pray while your acts outside prayer are accepted by God. God is pleased with what you do. And we pray, but what we do outside the prayer? How do we behave ourselves outside the prayer? Is God pleased with that? Now, the meaning of يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Establish prayer. Establish prayer means that yes, you pray, be careful what you do after outside the prayer. You pray, but you, for example, wrong other people. You pray, you don't care about the orphans. You pray, you don't care about anyone else. This is not establishing salat. You are just from musallin, and Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. Woe to musallin, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ صَاهُونَ. Those who don't know what is the meaning of salat. We don't know what's the meaning of salat that they do. So what is important, the question is not just about performing salat, giving sadaqah, charity, or fasting. It's about praying with a pure heart, with an act outside the salat, which pleases God, wa khushu and sawi, and humbleness and humility, which covers all your soul and all your heart. This is the issue. This is important. Now, here, then why, if iqamatu salat is important, not just doing salat, just performing it without any spirit, why here he says إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. Now, it's very interesting. Then he describes them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes musallin in a way which actually includes all those things which are needed for establishing salat. So, first of all, إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم. What does it have to do with salat? That you have to give, you have to have an allocated amount of your money for the poor. What is the relationship here? But yes, this is an act outside salat, but this is actually what makes your salat meaningful. So the description which is given here for musallin, for the prayerful, are the description of those who establish salat. This is what I mean by salat. Now, this is very, very interesting because it may be imagined that many things which are mentioned here, for example, decency, modesty, what do they do with salat? It's all mentioned here. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except the prayerful, who have these qualities, and these qualities are nothing to do with salat. Yes. The question is not just to perform salat. The question is, what is your act outside salat? وَعَمَلًا إِنَّ اللَّهِ مَرِّيهِ, an act and your actions which are pleased by Allah. Okay, let's see what are the descriptions of these musallin. First of all, these musallin are those who have actually internalized this idea of salat. It's not that something, sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't do it. Okay? First of all, they do it continuously. And there are two things which are mentioned at the beginning of this description and at the end of the description. It's very interesting. Because at the beginning it says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, those who are continuous in their prayers. And at the end, when all these descriptions are mentioned, then it closes it by another thing about salat, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, and those who are very protective of their salat. يُحَافِظُونَ, they protect their salat. Now, of course, these are two different aspects of salat, to be continuous in salat and to be mindful in salat, to be protective of your salat. Now, it starts with this and ends with that. And then in the middle, there are many, many qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, which we have to go through them. Now, what's the difference between الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ and الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ? This second statement, which actually ends these qualities, and opening these qualities of musallin with salat and ending it with salat, it means that salat, as-salatu, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, as-salatu amudu ad-din. Salat is the pillar of faith. You cannot have faith without prayers. If someone says, I believe in God, I worship him, but they don't pray, it means that actually that camp under which they have built their faith has fallen down. There is no pillar. There is nothing that could hold that camp up, camp of the faith. This is the meaning of amud, isn't it? The pillar of a house, pillar of a tent, keeps it up. When you take that pillar, it falls down. So as-salatu amududdin means that it keeps your faith. If you don't pray. Now, other religions, unfortunately, they have forgotten the importance of this salat. And they sometimes do it. Most of the time they say, it's not important, it's formalities, for example. It should be in your heart. God should be in your heart, not that you do these formalities. And sometimes, actually, they say, you just show off, you pretend. Now, what distinguishes Muslims from non-Muslims is a description which is given about them in Torah, and it's mentioned in the Quran in Surah Fat. And this is what this description is what we see every day. You look at every channel about Muslims, you see it every day. Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Muhammad is the messenger of God. Those who are with him, if there is a battle, a war, they are of course harsh, defending their faith. But outside that, they are very kind with each other. Kind with others as well. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Sometimes we take these actually statements out of its context. Yeah, we have to be harsh with kuffar wherever we are and wherever we meet them. No, this was not the behavior of the Prophet or the Imam. They never behaved like that. Yes, if they want to attack your faith, if they want to destroy you, you're harsh. You stand firm. It's not just pacifism. That's, okay, let them do it. God would revenge. No. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ They are very kind among themselves. Yes. If someone slaps you in your right cheek, turn your left cheek. Yes, Ruhama Oben means this, of course. And this is exactly what Jesus said to his companions, to be like that amongst themselves. Not that if, for example, someone comes and kill other people, you tell, okay, let me give you more people to kill. This is not the case. No. If your sister, if your brother, if your parents, if your children do something wrong, you have to have forbearance. Rahama awenu. Now, that's not my point. The point is here. Tarahum rukkan sujjada yabtahuna fazlam min Allahi wa rizwana simahum fi wujuhihim min athar as-sujud dhalika mathaluhum fi at-Tawrah. How have we described the followers of the messenger of the last messenger of the end of the time? Because this is the messenger of the end of the time. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that between me and the hour are like this. We are very close. After I come, the hour comes. The day of judgment comes, as I discussed this before. Anyhow, you see this, isn't it? You just... Every day, go to any mosque, go to Masjid al-Haram, go to Masjid al-Nabi, go to any Masjid al-Jama. You see, this is the description of the followers of Prophet Muhammad. And you don't see this in any other faith. This is how Allah has described them and have distinguished them from people of other faiths. Now, everyone should be like that. This didn't Jesus alayhi salam said, as it's reported in the Quran, when he was born, أَوْسَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا Until I'm alive, I have to continue performing salat and zakat. And this is actually a refutation of those who say that you just pray as long as you haven't reached God. When you reach God, you stop prayer, of course. Isa alayhi salam had reached God right from the beginning, but أَوْسَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا As long as I'm alive, I have to do this. Anyhow, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ One is that continuously until the end of their lives, they do it. And the other difference between this one and the last one, in our tradition we have, that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, they make up for whatever is mustahab for them to do. Now, Qummi and others have said that this is about ala salatihim da'imun, is about nawafil. And this makes you da'im, isn't it? You pray 4 rak'ah of Zuhr prayer, then you pray 8 rak'ah of Nafila, recommended, supererogatory, so to speak. You pray Salatul Fajr, but before that you pray 11 rak'ah of Salatul Layl and 2 rak'ah of Nafilatul Fajr, you do it. You pray Maghrib, then you pray 4 rak'ah after it. So you are continuous during your day. And this is why it's reported from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam that الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ means those who do 51 rak'ah every day. You know that one of the signs of a Shia is that as-salatu ihda wa khamsin, performing 51 rak'ah of salat every day. And of course, for other madhahib, it's less. For us, it's 17 rak'ah of obligatory prayer and 34 rak'ah of recommended prayer. They all make 51 rak'ah. So some say da'imun, and this is reported from A'imma alayhi salam as well, and it's reported from Amirul Mumin alayhi salam that, of course, maybe we miss our Salatul Layl on occasions, or we cannot do Salatul Nafilatul Dhuhr or Nafilatul Asr every day because of business work, something like that. Now, it's reported from Amirul Mumin, الَّذِينَ يَقْضُونَ مَا فَاتَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ بِالنَّهَارِ وَمَا فَاتَهُمْ مِنَ النَّهَارِ بِاللَّيْلِ. Those who whatever they have missed in terms of salat during the night, فَنَافِلَةُ اللَّيْلِ, they do it in the day. They make up for it. And whatever they have missed as نَافِلَةُ النَّهَارِ, they do it at night or whatever. And we have many traditions that how rewarding or how rewardful is someone who make up for the nafila. Not make up for, of course, we should not miss any wajib salat, okay? But we miss many times nawafil. But if we make nafila, we make up for it. Now, I know, we will say, oh, 17 rak'ah, now you want to add 34 rak'ah. Okay, this is recommended. This, if you want to be da'im, continuous in your salat. If you want to be continuous in salat, that's Allah hasn't made it obligatory because He knows وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man is weak, created weak. We are weak, except those with high resolve, like what Amirul Mu'mineen says, وَحَبْلِيَ الْجِدَّ فِي خَشْيَةِ. Give me seriousness in your khashya. Yes, of course, for him, not 51 rakah, 500 rakah he prays, and he never gets tired of that. Ya Yahya, خذ الكتاب بقوة. Oh Yahya, take the book with the strength. What's the meaning of take the book with the strength? Of course, talking about Torah. What's the meaning of it? It means act upon it in a way in which there is no weakness. Now, if you want to act according to our faith in which there is no weakness, then of course we need become different from our ordinary type of life. Now, there is one hadith also from Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam. This is reported in Kafi. Fudail says that Sa'altu Abu Ja'far alayhi salam an qawlillahi azza wa jal alladhina hum ala salatihim yuhafizun. What's the meaning of those who are protective of their salat? قَالَ هِيَ الْفَرِيدَ. Yes, you have to protect your fariza. Fariza, obligation, you should not miss. You have to be protective of it. Of course, there's another meaning to this that I mentioned when we come to the verse. قُلْتُ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. What's the meaning of those who are continuous in their prayer? قَالَ هِيَ النَّافِلَ. This is nafila. This is the supererogatory recommended prayer, which makes you over the day and night to be continuously praying for doing performing salat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ الْمَعْلُومِ. Inshallah, we leave this for next week. وَسَلَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ طَاهِرِينَ.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف محمد يا مسلمين صلوا.